Well, last week last Sunday morning, I shared about Jehoshaphat, who was one of the kings of Judah, the southern kingdom, and we looked at five keys to victory from the life of Jehoshaphat, and I want to continue this morning on King Jehoshaphat, and this will be the two-part series. And this morning I want to look at, the warnings from King Jehoshaphat. And basically the subject is right alliances, right agreements, because that can, either make us or break us. And last week we looked at those five keys to victory that Jehoshaphat had. And God gave Jehoshaphat a victory even in an impossible situation in the natural. And, the Lord is well able, and he wants to deliver us even from impossible situations where there's no hope in the natural. And we saw those positive qualities last week in Jehoshaphat, how that, he was a man of prayer. He prayed. We read that he sought God. He encouraged the people to serve the Lord and to volunteer and to live for God. And not only that, he pray, but he prayed and he fasted. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And so he proclaimed that everyone, even the young and the old, they would all fast and they'd cry out to God together. And he proclaimed, a special time, a day, possibly a day, it doesn't say how long, but he proclaimed, a fast throughout all of Judah, all of that southern kingdom. And then also, he was a teacher, and he had a burden for teaching, and he sent out teaching ministries, and there were teaching ministries that were sent out to various places, all the towns and the cities. Jehoshaphat would send out these teachers, and we see how in 2 Chronicles 17 how the burden he had for the teaching ministry. And also we saw last Sunday morning that Jehoshaphat, he valued the prophetic word, and he hearkened to the prophetic word, the prophecy that came from Jahaziel, and he encouraged them, not to fear, not to be afraid, but to go out and to fight the enemy. And so he valued the prophetic word. He hearkened to the prophetic word. We also saw last week that Jehoshaphat was full of faith. He was a man of faith. He encouraged people to believe. And Jehoshaphat also, he was a man who knew the incredible power and value of praise and worship. And there was a great worship. And, he actually sent out the singers in advance of the army. And they were singing and praising the Lord. And as they did that, God did a mighty miracle and put the enemy, put them in confusion. There were three nations who were gathered together, against King Jehoshaphat. There was these three nations. There was Moab, and there was Ammon, and then there was the nation of Edom as well. Those three nations. And as the singers went forth, and they were singing and praising God as they went forth, God did a miracle. God intervened. The impossible happened, and God put the enemy into confusion, and the Ammonites and the Moabites, instead of fighting Jehoshaphat, they turned around and they fought each other and they killed each other, and then they turned against the other one and their group, the Edomites, and they killed each other until there were just dead bodies everywhere. And they didn't even have to fight. They just praised and worshipped the Lord as the singers went forth. And God saw a wonderful victory. And God is a God of miracles, and he wants to do miracles in our life. Now, it seems such a wonderful man that could not be, you know, you wonder, well, such a wonderful man of God in so many ways. But yet, with Jehoshaphat, there was a flaw. There was a major problem. There was a major problem. And because of that flaw, it was a serious flaw in his life. And this morning, we want to look at some warnings from his life. And so, you know, in many ways, he was a great king. In fact, he saw revival. Josiah the king, he saw a revival. Hezekiah saw revival in his time, but so did Jehoshaphat. And he saw people turn back to the Lord. And the revivals in the Old Testament, they were centered around the feast, the Old Testament feast of Passover. And he saw revival in Judah. He sought the Lord. As we've shared, he sought the Lord. He was a man of fasting. He was a righteous king. He walked in the ways of God. He even eradicated the worship of other gods. And he was greatly concerned for the spiritual development of Judah under his leadership. And that's, you know, there was a teaching revival. There was teaching which was based on the law of the Lord. He feared God. He embraced the prophetic word. He was a true worshiper. And, you know, he experienced the tremendous power of praise and worship. So in many ways, he was a wonderful king. In many ways, he was a great role model. But still, in spite of all that, there was a terrible flaw. There was a terrible flaw. There was a serious defect. There was a major fault in his life. And that resulted in disastrous consequences of Judah. Disastrous consequences for the kingdom of Judah. And also, from this flaw, you know, it's a solemn warning for us today. And as we've said many times, I believe God is preparing us for revival. God's preparing us for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And as God prepares us, I mean, of course, we must know the Word of God. We must read the Word of God, study the Word of God, and be prepared so we in turn can teach others when the harvest comes in. But there's also not just preparation of study and learning, but there's a preparation of our hearts, and there's allowing God to deal with our hearts and see if there are any flaws in our hearts, and asking God to bring those flaws to the surface, and so we see what's in our heart. Even King David, he cried out and end of Psalm 139, he said, "Search me, O God, know my way, see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And there was that cry in David's heart. And often revivals in the past, they've been short-lived. They have not lasted. And sometimes one of the reasons for that is sometimes in the life of the leaders there's been flaws. Sometimes there's been covetousness. Sometimes there's been immorality. There's been flaws. And you know, smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And in revivals of the past, some of them have not lasted because there's been flaws in leadership. And so you see, in revival, when the harvest comes in, we're going to reproduce what we are. We're going to reproduce what we are. We're going to multiply what we are. And so we want to allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse us, to purge us, to deal with our hearts, to deal with the innermost recesses of our hearts, to bring to light certain things in our lives which we may not even realize are there. Maybe there's areas of pride or of envy or other things which we don't even hardly realize that are there, but they're in our hearts. You know, the heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah says. And by the grace of God, in this coming revival, you know, we want it to last. We want it to go on. But we want to see people being changed into the likeness of the Lord, his image being birthed in them. And so, you know, it must begin with us. It must begin with us. Judgment first begins in the house of the Lord. And there must be a crying out to God that God would forgive our sin. And God would deal with things and flaws that are in our lives so that God can change us. So that again, when the harvest comes in, you know, we're going to multiply what we are. And by the grace of God, hopefully the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the character of Christ will be developed, formed in our lives, so that can be reproduced in the life of others. And even Jehoshaphat's revival, it didn't last. His revival was lost in the next generation. And because of this flaw that he had, it's like he undid so much of all the godly things that he accomplished. Now, in 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1, 2 Chronicles 18 and verse 1, and it says there, tells us about Jehoshaphat. He had great riches. He had honor in abundance. You know, he was greatly blessed. But here's the problem in that verse. Here's the flaw. He joined affinity with Ahab. He joined affinity with Ahab. In other words, that was not a good alliance. That was a bad alliance that he had. It was a wrong alliance that he had. Now, who was Ahab? Ahab was the eighth king, the eighth king of Israel. And Ahab, Israel is the northern kingdom. There were 10 tribes in that. Judah is the southern kingdom, two tribes there. Now, Ahab, he was one of the most wicked men who ever lived. And the previous seven kings of Israel, Ahab was number eight, and the first seven, they ruled for a period of about 60 years in total. And if we study their lives, we find their life full of bloodshed, murder, idolatry, assassination, hatred, and deception. In fact, we read in 1 Kings 16 and verse 18, 1 Kings 16:28, and it tells us there in verse 28 about how wicked Ahab was. And it says, Omri slept with his fathers and was bruised in Samaria. He was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. Now, Ahab reigned after his father Omri. And Ahab did evil above all that were before him. And Omri was very wicked, but Ahab was even worse. He did evil above all that were before him. Now, Ahab married Jezebel. And Jezebel, we all know Jezebel, she was a heathen princess. She was involved in witchcraft and sorcery. She was involved in sexual immorality and fornication. She was an evil woman. And through her, she was an idol worshiper, and through her Baal worship, the worship of Baal, a foreign god, so this pagan god, came in to Israel. I mean, what a horrible thing. What a terrible thing. Baal worship was introduced into Israel through this wicked woman, Jezebel, who married Ahab. Now, in 2 Chronicles 18, in verse 2 and 3, 2 Chronicles 18, 2 and 3, and this is, it's almost unbelievable that such a godly king would do this. And it tells us there, and after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, for the people that he, for the people he had with him, and persuaded him to go up to Ramoth Gilead. So Jehoshaphat, he joined affinity with Ahab, and he went down to Ahab to Samaria. All right, so Jehoshaphat, he lived in Jerusalem. He was there in Jerusalem, the southern kingdom. Ahab was the king of Israel, and the capital of Israel was Samaria, right further north in Israel. And so they were separated. And it said that that Jehoshaphat went down to visit Ahab. And this is something, you know, he should not have done. That's where the problem began. The problem began with Jehoshaphat was he went to visit Ahab, and he joined an alliance with him. And it's almost impossible to believe he would do this after listing all the tremendous qualities that he had. But what does he say in verse 2 and verse 3? He says, "I am as thou art. I am as thou art. I am just like you, and my people as your people. My people are your people." In other words, we'll be with you in the war against Ramoth Gilead. Now, Ramoth Gilead, that was a city on the eastern side of the River Jordan, and it was a part of Israel. It was part of the territory of Israel, and the Syrians were coming from the east, and they were coming to the east, and they had captured Ramoth Gilead, and so Ahab and the Israelites, they're in fear of the Assyrians who are coming from the east and coming towards them, and they'd already taken Ramoth Gilead. So Ahab requests that Jehoshaphat join with him in battle so that they can recover Ramoth Gilead from the Syrians, who were their enemies and who were attacking them. And, you know, Jehoshaphat said, "Well, I'm just like you. I am one of you. We are one together. We're bone of our bone, and we are one." And he agreed. He agreed to go with Ahab, with this wicked man Ahab, to war against the Syrians for the city of Ramoth Gilead. And Jehoshaphat should not have gone to Samaria in the first place. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, we see that as a result, and they went up to battle together. They went up to battle together, and there was all of the 10 tribes making up Israel, and there was Judah, and they went to battle together. And there were various prophets who prophesied, and there were false prophets, and all the false prophets, they said to Ahab, they prophesied, "You go up, you will have victory, you will win, and you will prosper." And they prophesied good things. And then Jehoshaphat said, "Well, is there not a prophet of the Lord?" And there was one prophet, Micaiah, and they called him. And then he gave the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord that he gave was that, yes, they'd have a victory, but basically Ahab would be killed. Ahab would die. And he would not come back from the battle alive. So anyway, the kings, they would put their robes on when they went to war. And the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, he put his robe on, went to war. But Ahab, because of that prophetic word or whatever, he did not. He just went out on his chariot and he went out to the battle. And there was a battle. And the Syrians, they thought, they saw Jehoshaphat and they surrounded him and were going to kill him. But the command had been given by the king of Syria, only kill the king of Ahab. The battle is against the king of Israel, who was Ahab, and that was the word from the Syrian king. And so they surrounded Jehoshaphat. They thought he was Ahab. Then they really realized he was not, and they left him. And so the battle, it got hotter and hotter. And then there was just one man, and he just got an arrow. And he got that arrow, and he pulled that arrow, and he just, at random, just a chance, he shot that arrow. And God caused that random arrow. He didn't even know what he was shooting at, but he shot that arrow. And that arrow, God guided that arrow. And it was God's judgment coming upon Ahab for all his wickedness. And that arrow went right in between the armor in his body. And he was wounded. And he fought most of the day. And then he came back and his blood was spilled there on his chariot in Jerusalem, which was according to the prophecy of Elijah, which Elijah had given. And so, you know, he died, and God's judgment came upon him. And it was that, you know, so Ahab was killed just by this random, by this chance arrow. But God, in his mercy, even though Jehoshaphat should not have gone to battle with Ahab, he should not have joined himself, he should not have made an agreement, he should not have made an alliance with King Ahab, but he did. Nevertheless, God had mercy on Jehoshaphat, and he protected Jehoshaphat in the battle. Now, in 2 Chronicles 19, 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 2, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to Jehoshaphat. So God sent his prophet. Jehu, he was a true prophet. Now Jehu, the son of Hanani, that's the prophet. There's another Jehu, which was who became one of the kings of Israel. But this Jehu, in chapter 19 and verse 2, the son of Hanani, he gives the word of the Lord, and he is a true prophet of God, and he says to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly? In other words, you should not have helped Ahab. You should not have gone out to battle with him. Do you love those, and should you love those that hate the Lord? Ahab hated the Lord. And the prophet says, the prophet rebukes Jehoshaphat. Should you love them that hate the Lord? And the prophet says to Jehoshaphat, therefore is wrath come upon you from before the Lord. God's anger was to come upon Jehoshaphat. So that is the reception that Jehoshaphat got when he got back to Jerusalem. He's rebuked by the prophet Jehu. Should you help the ungodly line and love them that love the Lord? Because it is wrath shall come upon thee before the Lord. Now, the flaw was Jehoshaphat, he was in agreement. He had this alliance, this agreement to the wrong person. It was to Ahab. And that didn't just, it wasn't just that one occasion. But because he did that, because of what he did, there were consequences of what he did. And there was the consequences of that bad agreement, that wrong agreement that he had. And the major consequence of that agreement, that alliance that Jehoshaphat and Ahab had, was that Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, he married Ahab and Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah. And so they were married. And so a result of Jehoshaphat making peace with Ahab was that his son, Jehoram, married Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And then Joram's wife, Athaliah, she corrupted him, corrupted Jehoram, and Jehoram was an evil king, and he led the people. He was the king of Judah. He was the king that was reigning where the temple of Solomon was in Jerusalem. But then he led the people, instead of leading the people to seek the Lord and to turn to the Lord, he led the people into idolatry and evil. So after 25 years of righteous living by Jehoshaphat, Jehoram came and virtually lost everything. And Jehoram reigned 8 years, and it tells us in 2 Chronicles 21 and verse 18, 2 Chronicles 21 and verse 18, and after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels and with an incurable disease. This is Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat. And it came to pass that in process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, so he died of sore diseases. Now God's judgment came on him, and his people made no burning for him, like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and he departed without being desired. He departed without being desired. What a sad ending he had. No one was sorry. No one was even sorry when he died. And that's why who a person marries is so important. And so important. Young people, you know, marry the right one, because if they marry the wrong one, it's easy for them to be led or to be sucked into the ways of evil, of sin, of idolatry. And, you know, that revival was lost. That revival was lost. It did not continue. Jehoshaphat was a righteous man. We saw all those wonderful qualities he had, but it was lost. It did not continue. And his son ends up leading the people into terrible idolatry and to Baal worship. And it was because his son married the daughter of Ahab. And it was because the problem that Jehoshaphat made that agreement, that alliance with Ahab. And, you know, in marriage, it's so important that we marry someone, you know, of like vision, of someone who loves the Lord and someone who wants to serve the Lord. And, you know, I prayed, I put definite things that I prayed. And I was in New Zealand, and I'd been at university, I completed the course there. Then I went on with a young people's team, Youth with a Mission, to Indonesia, which was for 6 weeks. It ended up me being out of New Zealand for 2 years and traveling. But I prayed when I was young. I prayed that God would give me, that I wouldn't have to, you know, run here and run there and try this girl and that girl and everything, but that God would give me a girl who had a similar vision that I had, that was saved, that was baptized in water, that was filled with the Holy Spirit, that was wanting to serve the Lord, that was willing to sacrifice for the Lord. In fact, before I got engaged to Marilyn, it was very unromantic. You know, I said, if you marry me, you know, there might be rice for breakfast, rice for lunch, rice for dinner. You know, we could be, you know, overseas country somewhere. There could be times of loneliness. I made it very hard. But anyway, she came back and 2 weeks later or so and said, yes, she would marry me. But now, 47 years later, we're, by the grace of God, we are still serving the Lord and going on. But, you know, if we marry the right one, you know, we can help fulfill the purposes of God. We marry the wrong one, it can take us right on off track, and it can cause us to go back into sin. It can cause us to go back into the world. And that's why the Bible says a believer must always marry, you know, a believer must not marry an unbeliever. The scripture is very clear. And we should not only marry a believer, but one of God's choice. And as many of you are aware, that in India, I mean, many marriages are arranged marriages in many places of India today. And that can be good, it can be bad. But if the parents are seeking God and seeking the mind of the Lord, you know, many cases we've heard of, you know, wonderful marriages taking place by husband and wife never knowing each other before the marriage. But the parents have sought the Lord and prayed and got the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And there's been marriages which have been greatly blessed of God. But also in India, what often happens, unfortunately, is sometimes the marriage is arranged not by seeking God, but by what caste that the person belongs to, or how much money is the dowry going to be. And that's the sad thing. And then marriages are arranged that way in many cases. But if the parents seek the Lord and those in the church seek the Lord, the pastors, the parents seek the Lord, I mean, that can be, God can use that system just as he can our system. But the important thing is, you know, knowing the mind of the Lord. And sadly, you know, many in this country, you know, often the call of God is on their lives. They want to serve the Lord. Sometimes they've been through Bible school, got a heart for God, and then they marry the wrong one. And all the dreams and desires of their hearts, you know, never get fulfilled because they're not marrying the one of God's choice. There's an alliance which is not from the Lord. And so not only in marriage, but in, you know, business agreements and who we align with, we've got to be very careful that we are not like Jehoshaphat, who made an alliance with the wrong person. In fact, Ahab was a very wicked person. Isaiah 58 verse 12 speaks of raising up the foundations of many generations. In other words, there's a desire that when God comes, when God moves, that move of God will not just stop at one generation, but will continue to the next generation and hopefully the next generation. And that's what happened with Jehoshaphat's, the move of God in his. It did not last. And not only it did not last, but his son, Jehoram, led the people into terrible, terrible idolatry. And, you know, we want, you know, what we do as we serve the Lord, as we seek to serve the Lord in this life and live for the Lord, you know, we want our work to remain. We want it to abide. We want it to continue. We want it to go on. And You know, we need to pray that God will protect us and we will make alliances only with the right people and not the wrong people. After Jehoram died, he was only king for 8 years, the son of Jehoshaphat, then his son, Ahaziah, and he only reigned for 2 years, then he died, and then the wicked Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab, then she usurped the throne. And, you know, she took the throne of Judah, the southern kingdom, the place where Solomon's temple was. And then she destroyed all the sons of Jehoram, all the royal seed, except for the child Joash. And Joash was the king at 7 years old. He became king. So because of the alliances of Jehoshaphat with Ahab, you know, the godly line of Judah, and through the godly line of Judah was the line through which Christ was born, was almost wiped out. And as a result, Judah, the southern kingdom, went into terrible apostasy. And so it's so important for us, you know, we don't go, to the wrong places. You know, Jehoshaphat should have never gone to Samaria and made that agreement with King Ahab. You know, as a result, Jehoshaphat lost everything. And then it's hard to understand, but that was not the only thing Jehoshaphat did, because in 2 Chronicles in chapter 20, 2 Chronicles in chapter 20, and in verse 35, there it tells us that after this, did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. So here we see that Jehoshaphat, he joins himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships to Evian Geza. So after Ahab died, after wicked Ahab died, his son was Ahaziah. And Ahaziah was the next king of Israel, the northern kingdom, after Ahab. And so here's Jehoshaphat, after everything that's happened with Ahab, and here he's going to join himself together with the son of Ahab, Ahaziah. And so they were going to join themselves together and build these ships, and the ships to go to Tarshish, to go and get silver and gold and treasures and everything else. And it says there, verse 36, and he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, that they made the ships in Ezion Geber. So what did God do? Verse 37, then Eleazar, the son of Dodavah of Marisha, prophesied. So Eleazar, who was a true prophet of God, he gave the word of the Lord. He prophesied against Jehoshaphat. And he said, because you have joined yourself with Ahaziah, he's the wicked son of Ahab, the Lord has broken thy works. And somehow got those ships that they built, God bust them up. God broke them. We don't know. We're not told how it happened, but they were not able to sail. They were not able to go. They were broken by the Lord, and they were not able to go to Tarshish. And, you know, tragically, at the end of his reign, you know, tragically, Jehoshaphat had not learned his lesson of wrong alliances. And then there was another incident that happened. And if we go over to 2 Kings in chapter 3, 2 Kings in chapter 3 and verse 7, we see that Jehoshaphat there, he had an alliance with Jehoram. All right, now after Ahaziah died. So we've got King Ahab, king of Israel. He died, and then his son Ahaziah became king, and he only lasted about 2 years, and then he died. But he had no seed. He had no sons. So his son did not come on the throne, but instead another one of Ahab's son, his name was Jehoram, came to the throne of the kings of Israel. And so Jehoshaphat, after everything that had happened, Jehoshaphat made an alliance with Jehoram, who was the son of Ahab. And so they made an alliance together. And their alliance was to go up, and they were going to unite together, and Israel and Judah and their armies were going to unite together to go against the enemy, the Moabites, the children of Moab, and they'd come up to attack Israel. And Jehoshaphat, again, he makes the wrong alliance, and he makes it with, again, it's a wrong alliance, a wrong agreement with Jehoram, who again was the wicked son of Ahab. I mean, you'd think he'd learn. It happened with Ahab, and then it happened with Ahaziah, his son, and now he's making an alliance, an agreement with Jehoram, the other son of Ahab, to go up and to fight the children of Moab. And again, God was merciful. They won the battle, and the Lord was merciful to Jehoshaphat and spared his life again. But he was rebuked of the Lord. He was rebuked of the Lord. And he said there, again he said there, what he had said to Ahab. And in 2 Kings 3 and in verse 7, it tells us there, and he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. This is what he said. He says, I will go with you. I'll join with you. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as thy horses. They would unite together. I am like you. So we see in these chapters, Jehoshaphat, who had so many good qualities, he made an alliance. First wrong alliance was with King Ahab, and then the second wrong alliance was with King Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, to build ships together. And the third wrong alliance was with another son of Ahab, King Jehoram of Israel, and to go up against to fight against the enemy, the Moabites. So he made those three wrong alliances. And so this morning's message is like a battery. You have a battery. You have a positive. You have a negative. Last week we looked at the positive. We looked at the wonderful qualities, but we're looking at the negative. But for the battery to work, you've got to have a negative as well. And there are warnings. Part of the reasons the Bible speaks about these kings of Israel is not just so we can learn history in our heads. No, it's so that we can learn by their mistakes. We can learn by their good points, yes, but we can learn also and be warned by their failings and by their mistakes. And we want to be those who don't make wrong alliances. We want to fully obey the word of God without compromise. You know, so many today, there's so many churches, compromise, compromise, compromise. Aaron, he was the first high priest. But remember when Moses was there up in the mountain getting the Ten Commandments? What was Aaron doing? Aaron, the brother of Moses, from the godly line of the Levites. He was out there and he was leading them into idolatry and worshipping the golden calf. I mean, now fortunately, he repented. God forgave him. And the Lord was merciful again, and he was allowed to continue as the high priest. But, I mean, that was that he did not fully follow the Lord. There was compromise in his life. And we need to pray that we will not make wrong alliances, and that by the grace of God, we will be those who do not compromise, who do not compromise. Joash, who was the boy king, who became king at 7 years of age, the king of Judah. While Jehoiada, the high priest, while he was alive, he followed the Lord. He walked in righteousness. He walked in the ways of God. Then Jehoiada died. And what did Joash do when he grew up? He turned away to others his own age. And he turned and they, he got, you know, wrong friends. They turned his heart away from the Lord. And then he ended up killing the son of Jehoiada, who had rebuked him. His name was Zechariah. And he ended up having Zechariah the prophet being killed. He compromised. He compromised. He did not hold fast the ways of God. The first king of Judah, his name was Rehoboam. And Rehoboam, he was the son of Solomon. And he became the first king of the southern kingdom of Judah, through which Christ was going to be born. But again, you know, he compromised. He compromised. Instead of listening to the wise advice of the older ones who had experience, he listened to the young ones who did not have the experience. And he said, you know, and he was encouraged to make the burden of the people heavier and heavier. He listened to the wrong men. A vision that Pastor Bailey had was that in the last days, the church will divide. And in that vision that he had of the church in the last days, he saw this stream of light. And this light, it was pure light. Pure white as white. And then the light divided. The light divided. And when it divided, so there were two streams. The first was just one stream, one bright, brilliant white light. And then it divided. And there were two streams of light. One of them continued very bright. But the one on the right side, it started very bright. And you could not distinguish. When you looked at them, you could not distinguish. They were exactly the same. They were both brilliant white light. But the one on the right side gradually, very slowly, became a little darker and darker and darker. And then it went down, down, down. And then there were evil beasts and so on, and darker and darker. And then it went down into the pit of hell. But the one on the left, it went higher and higher and brighter and brighter. And right to the Lord of glory, right to the heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion and Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, right into the presence on the right hand of the Lord of glory. And so the thought was, in the last days, the church will divide. Not a division in the world, but the church. And Revelation 22 and verse 11. Revelation 22 and verse 11, it tells us there, he that is unjust, let him be unjust. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Let him be more righteous. He that is holy, let him be more holy. Let him be holy still. And, you know, one area, you know, there's compromise, there's wrong alliances, there's compromise so much today. And we must be those, by the grace of God, who, you know, have the standards, high standards, standards of the Word of God. And, you know, there's so much compromise. There's even churches today, I mean, homosexual churches, they call them churches, and they praise and they worship, and yet they're full of homosexuals, which are abomination to God. There's those pastors today in America have been divorced, remarried, sometimes two or three or four times, and they're still there pastoring. I mean, Jesus was very clear. And Jesus said in Mark 10, 11 and 12, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another commits adultery against her. But if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she commits adultery. Now, I'm not here to condemn anybody, because when people cry out to God for forgiveness, he is a merciful God, and God forgives. And in this last day revival, I mean, you know, in many churches today, all over the Western world, I mean, there's many, there's multitudes of people who are divorced and remarried. And because of the society we live in, I mean, more than half the marriages, you know, end in divorce. And so, but the Word of God is very clear. And, you know, we must be those who don't compromise and hold standards. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 6:4, do not be equally yoked with unbelievers. Do not, for a Christian, is wrong to marry an unbeliever. And a number have said to me, in fact, you know, where family is, and it's very difficult where family is involved, where a family member gets divorced and then wants to get remarried again, and they invite you to come. Can you go? Well, really, if you do go, you're basically saying, you know, that your blessing is on that second marriage or the third marriage, that you're in agreement with it. So, you know, it's an area of compromise. And so there's a certain cost, you know, to going on for the Lord. And, you know, these things involve the society we're living in today. It affects just about every home. But by the grace of God, when we maintain the Word of God and don't compromise on the Word of God, you know, we're going to be those that God's hand and God's favor can rest upon. And so we need to be careful. We need to be careful in, you know, business partnerships. We need to be careful in the area of music. I mean, sometimes some churches, it's almost like, you know, nightclubs going on and all the music and the heavy rock and so on. And so many Christians, they just compromise. They align themselves with those things which are wrong. Proverbs 13, verse 20 tells us there, Proverbs 13, 20, he that walks with the godly shall be godly, but he that walks with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, bad company, it corrupts good character. And that's what happened in Jehoshaphat. He got bad company with Ahab. He got into that agreement, that fellowship with Ahab. It corrupts good character. Psalm 45, verse 7, it says, not only to love righteousness, but hate iniquity. Jehoshaphat, he loved righteousness, yes, but Jehoshaphat did not hate iniquity. If he hated iniquity, he would not have joined with Ahab. Psalm 1 and verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So it's the negative first, and then it's the positive. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What is the result? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also will not wither whatsoever he doeth. shall prosper. And so, by the grace of God, we want to be those who allow God to deal with flaws in our life so that we can be conformed into the image of Jesus and be like him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that you just take the words that have been spoken this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts. And Lord, we pray, Lord, we will be those, Lord, who learn from your word, who embrace your word. Lord, keep us from wrong alliances. Keep us from wrong agreements. Help us to be those who don't compromise. Oh God, Lord, we pray that we will hold fast your word, that we'll be true to you. Lord, we're a special people. We're called to be a separate people. Lord, we're called to not only love righteousness, but to hate iniquity. Just while our eyes are closed, Jehoshaphat had many good points, but there was a major flaw, which was his downfall. And I sense while I've been speaking that some here, you know there's a flaw in your life, but you recognize it. Maybe it's compromise in some area. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's backbiting, murmuring, complaining. You know what that flaw is. And you want to say to the Lord, Lord, deal with it. Deal with that flaw in my life. I yield to you. Lord, with your help, I'm willing to let it go. Every eye closed. You know there's a flaw, and you want God to deal with it. Just lift your hand. Lift your hand. God bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Bless you. Put your hands down. Father, Lord, you see these ones. Oh God, Lord, you're a God who hears and answers prayer. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as these precious ones, Lord, cry out to you. Oh God, that you would break it, that you would deliver them, that you would set them free. And Lord Jesus, Lord, you'd cause all of us by your grace, Lord, to be conformed to your image, that we would be those, Lord, who serve you with all our hearts, those who are prepared and ready even for the outpouring of your Spirit. Oh God, work as only you can. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Musicians, come.